Please be seated. Thank you, David. Some of you may know that I have four granddaughters. I'm a little bit of a bragging grandma, but that's understandable. And my grandgirls, they're always coming up with games to play. And recently, Quinn, who's the youngest, she told the others that she wanted to do a scavenger hunt. So she said, you guys go do something else because I have to set this up. And surprisingly, they obliged, since she's the youngest. And then she sat there in a chair for the longest time, asking me how to spell words and writing down clues for them to follow. And it wasn't really a scavenger hunt, it was more like a treasure hunt. Because the first clue would say, tell them where to go next to find the next clue and how to get from this place to the next place. And it was only a few clues long, but she told them where to begin, what to look for next, what to do while they were there, and then what they were going to discover at the end. And they came to the end, and it was really a pretty cool little scavenger hunt. Even her big sister said so. It's kind of like the dad in the video. He gave clues for his kids to follow. To keep calm and find Jesus. I love those words. Very good words for us in this season. We certainly can get caught up in the same kind of put the Tupperware lids on the Thanksgiving stuffing and dive right into Christmas, can't we? We do that in the church too, I'm afraid. We fail sometimes to honor Advent. Advent means arrival. For Christmas, it's a season of expectant waiting. The dad in the video, he was determined to do something to heighten expectation. So he hid baby Jesus. And he gave the kids clues, encouraging speculation and wonder. Where is the baby Jesus? God did the same thing when he sent an angel to the shepherds watching their flocks in the fields, according to the Gospel of Luke. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today, your Savior is born to you in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. The angel sent the shepherds on a treasure hunt. Greatest treasure hunt ever, leading to the greatest discovery imaginable, as God the Father made arrangements for the gift of his one and only Son to be found by those who would seek him. The clues to discovering the location of the newborn Savior were given to the shepherds, but the angel clearly stated, this gift is for who? This gift is for who? All the people. The shepherds received the clues and they experienced a heightened expectancy. There's something good out there, something for us to discover. It sounds like a great adventure. Let's go find it. They didn't just stand there and go, what was that about? And then go back to their flocks. They were moved and they hurried off in search of Jesus. Luke 2:16 says they hurried off and they located Mary and Joseph and they found the baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. God didn't lead them on a wild goose chase. God didn't make it difficult to find Jesus. God desires for all people to seek and find and experience the fullness of his good and perfect gifts. He wanted the gift of his son Jesus to be found in the manger. He intended for the Savior of the world to be worshiped and adored. And he wants all people to know that the gift has come straight from his hands. Psalm 145 says of God, "You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every heart." James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadow." Here, James identifies God as the Father of light. This is an ancient Jewish term that refers to God, describing him as creator, his unique identity as creator and designer of the heavens, the one who set the stars and the sun and the moon in place, reflect his creativity and beauty in the sky. Creation itself is a gift that God has given to us, his ultimate creation, humans. God created this perfect place of beauty in the beginning, and he's been giving good and perfect gifts to his children ever since. It's God's nature. It's what God does. The dad in the video realized his family had slipped into just going through the motions of Christmas. Each one of the steps in their holiday celebration was another box to check off the list so they could move on to the next one, until the year he decided to interrupt the status quo. We interrupt our regularly scheduled celebration of Christmas. He startled his family out of their complacency by stealing baby Jesus, by doing something different. He probably didn't realize it, but he was following the lead of the Father of Lights. God interrupted the status quo. He interrupted the complacency of his people by doing something different, by coming to us in the form of baby Jesus. This baby doesn't look like the creator of the sun and the moon and the stars. This baby is helpless. How can this baby be the Messiah that we've been expecting? How can this baby be God? There was a woman named Charlotte. She ran a Christian preschool. And so she bought a stuffed Jesus toy, maybe something like this guy. And the kids loved him. It was a happy Jesus, a smiling Jesus, a squishy Jesus. And some of the parents got upset when they started seeing Jesus out on the playground with the kids. They thought it was a little bit inappropriate for him to have dirt all over him. Shouldn't we be more reverent with Jesus? And they got a little bit upset with her when Jesus was stuck in the middle of the sandbox and had to be dug out to go back inside at the end of the day. They thought, this isn't really quite the way that Jesus ought to be. I don't know where Jesus needs to go, so I don't know. You guys want to hold Jesus for me? So she asked the concerned parents, she said, "What kind of Jesus do you want your kids to know? The breakable Jesus who sits high up on the shelf, who looks down on them, but they're not allowed to touch him? They have to be really careful when they get near the Jesus? Or do you want them to know a Jesus who's huggable and squishable, who plays with them, who spends time in the middle of their everyday lives with them, who's right in the middle of their sandbox battles with them, who comforts them when they get a boo-boo and their knee gets scratched up? The kind of Jesus they can take with them into their secret hiding place. Do you want your kids to know that kind of Jesus?" And then the parents backed off a little bit. Friends, sometimes I think we have to just remember to step back. Step back. And get a new look at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to remember that the days were dark, that God had been silent for 400 years before Jesus came. Can we put ourselves in the place of people who'd been waiting and waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years for a word from the Lord, holding on to the promise of the prophets that said the ones walking in darkness would see a great light. And then when the Word of God became flesh, and when the Father of lights entered our world to illuminate our darkness, and we didn't recognize him because he was unfamiliar. He was not what we were expecting. Can we stand in that place and be shocked with awe and wonder at the message of the angel to the shepherds? And can we choose this year maybe to do something different? Can we allow ourselves to be surprised by the coming of Jesus? Can we seek the Father of lights who loves to give good gifts and promises to be found when we seek him with all of our heart? In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, God the Father gave the gift of the first day of creation. He gave the gift all over again in a whole new way. On the first day of creation, God said what? "Let there be light." And light was. And on that Christmas night when Jesus came, the light of Jesus Christ came into the world, illuminating the darkness. Not only the literal darkness, but the darkness of our understanding about God. And brought not only light, but hope and joy and love and peace because of his advent, his arrival. And the Heavenly Father has continued giving good gifts to his creation. It's a natural thing for God to do. It's what God does. It's who God is. In Matthew 7, Jesus gives us a picture. It says, "Is there anyone among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? So if you then are who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more then does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to those who ask him?" Jesus helps people see how good, how gracious, how giving our Father in heaven is. And one of the greatest and clearest demonstrations is in the third chapter of John's Gospel that David read for us this morning. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Indeed, God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The nature and character of our Father God is that he is a giver of good gifts. He loves the world he created. He loves us. And he demonstrates his great love for us by sending his one and only Son named Jesus to be born of a virgin in a manger in Bethlehem as the Savior of the whole world. And he sent the good news through some clues given to shepherds to go and find him, to demonstrate that we must seek and find Jesus. And then, as the shepherds did, go and tell all people, not just over the hills, but everywhere. Go and tell all people, because the good news is not just for the shepherds, it's for everybody. He longs to be born in the hearts and the lives of each and every person in this great and wonderful world God created. In the darkness of a quiet night, God's messenger came to the shepherds. God told them how to find the gift God had sent for all people, whether they were near or far off. Sometimes the holidays are difficult for people to get through. Sometimes folks have a recent loss that they've suffered or some issue with God that's unresolved, questions or doubts or disappointments. Sometimes we feel more bah humbug than we do fa-la-la-la-la. But wherever you are, far or near, God has promised that when you seek him, he will be found by you. when you seek him with your whole heart. Long before Jesus came, the prophet Jeremiah was sent to bring hope to exiled people of God, living far off from where they should have been, from where they would hope to have been, in another land, far from their home, and far from God because they had forgotten the way that God had taught them to live, far from God in many ways. But even though they felt abandoned and far away from God, God sent a messenger to them. God sends messengers to us to reassure us. I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. When you call to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. When you seek me in prayer and in worship, you will find me available to you. These words Jeremiah spoke from God to his people were a gift filled with great expectancy that brought hope to the people. Because God is a good father who's delighted to give good gifts to his children, who makes a way for those who long to find him. Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Once again, the gift of expectancy with hope is given to those who will seek God with all their heart. Ask, seek, knock. It's an invitation. More than the answer to a question, it's an invitation to know God. It's an invitation to step out from a dark place into the light found in Jesus Christ. It's an invitation to Advent. Perhaps this Christmas season we could follow in the creative footsteps of the dad in the video and hide baby Jesus. Maybe not exactly in the way that he did it, but in a way and for the purpose of leading other people to seek him this Christmas season. You see, Jesus never intended to stay a baby wrapped up in strips of cloth lying in a manger. He came to be found. Can we commit ourselves to seek him, to unwrap the gift of the baby in the manger? With the same expectant spirit and enthusiasm of those children in the video? Can we get excited about finding Jesus? We found Jesus! I love that picture. What would it mean for you to seek Jesus with expectant joy instead of just sticking him in the nativity as you run off to seek the Best Buy at the store? What would it mean for you to unveil him in such a way that shows you truly are celebrating his arrival? The dad said he and his family took time on Christmas Eve to bring him out of hiding and into the center of the nativity scene in the quiet of the silent night. Most nativity scenes, if you have them in your household as a part of your tradition and they've been around for a while, have some nicks and scrapes and dents in them, don't they? Some of them even have stories attached to them. Well, this is the time we got Nerf guns for Christmas and somebody hit the camel and he fell on the floor. You remember the ways that those things got marred and broken, don't we? They're part of our Christmas story. Our Mary, she's missing a hand. Did you know that? I love that Mary's missing a hand. Because it reminds us that maybe we need to lend Mary a hand. What if we determine to bring Jesus into the world in a way that leads others to seek him? What if we determine to give birth to light in the darkness? What if we determine to look for ways to enlighten other people's lives, to lighten their burden during this Christmas season? Maybe in the act of serving one another while you're shoveling your neighbor's walk, if we ever get any snow, of giving up our place in line at the store that we've been standing in forever because their children are getting tired of waiting in line, or maybe just letting somebody else go first, singing Christmas tunes, reflecting the light. Maybe in that moment when you deliver cookies to a shut-in, or take time to make a homemade Christmas card, or say Merry Christmas to the person that grabbed that last can of sprinkles off of the shelf, that now you're going to have to drive clear across town and hope the other grocery store still has a can of sprinkles so you can finish your cookies. Maybe in saying Merry Christmas to that person in that moment when we return peace for chaos, maybe we found and shared the baby Jesus. Maybe it's just that simple. You see, God extends to us the perfect gift. May the Advent season, may we be like the shepherds. May we feel compelled to go, to seek, to find, and to share, to tell everyone what we discovered. May Jesus Christ shine forth from your life. May the light lead others to receive the gift of expectancy, of believing and knowing that God is up to something, that Jesus makes a difference in the world. I'm going to sing our closing hymn today. It may be unfamiliar to you because it's an Advent hymn that reminds us Christmas is coming, but not yet. It reminds us to walk. It reminds us to keep calm and find Jesus along the way. It sings of the history, of the prophecy, and of the reason Jesus came. So stand as you're able and join me as we sing together, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.